The recent days in the President Trump administration resulted in a variety of issues being addressed. They include Afghanistan, the impending debt ceiling deadline, southern border wall, Steve Bannon, and yeah, more on top of that. Here to discuss some of these matters, how they're being reacted to, is the Vice Chair of the Democratic National Committee, Michael Blake. Thanks for being here today, Mr. Blake.
Great to be with you, Chris.
And Democrats.org is the website. Learn more about the issues that we are talking about. And I guess in batting order of at least the amount of talking being done about it, let's start with the debt ceiling. And in Arizona this past week, President tied in the rising of the debt ceiling with the financing of the border wall and stated and pretty much put the gauntlet down that he is willing to let the government shut down if the wall funding, unless the wall funding stays in the budget. Your reaction to all that?
It's completely irresponsible for the president to use that kind of rhetoric. It shows yet again that the president is absolutely unfit to lead. He has no ability to stop the process that would happen within Congress to the congressional leadership on both sides of the House and Senate, so they would not allow that to occur. And three, let's make sure we just put this in the broader context. The president of the United States is saying that we would allow for our country to go into economic hardship, economic realities that would impact people in New Jersey on the ground every single day. If we can't borrow, it leads to different frustrations and challenges for small businesses, for everyday persons, in order for him to get a potential wall, which, again, let's also make sure we're clear, he said Mexico would pay for. So the fact that we're in this scenario is just purely about politics, about the president trying to amplify a political agenda. It is why we continue to remind people about why we want to give them a better deal in the vision of what we're trying to fight for the Democratic Party, but also to welcome everyone to the fold. We should be talking about how we create jobs on the ground, not how we're trying to build a wall.
Regarding the elements of a shutdown, how they impact people, how they affect people, other than, and I'm going off of 2013, maybe you can think back further in history, but off of 2013, I think the most dire circumstances were that some of the federal workers who were furloughed had their salaries delayed, and there was a brief risk of military benefits being paid, but it turned out they weren't. Other than that, short of the parks and the CDC services being suspended temporarily, at least back in 2013, nothing drastically disruptive happened.
Well, we would beg to differ. Anyone who has a threat of not being paid, it's drastic to them. Anyone that's on the ground that's wondering if I'm going to have my job and have my wages and have my opportunity to have progress, it is drastic to them. And so the reality that exists is that the fact that we're even having a conversation of raising the debt for the country to pay its bills and the impact it could have for people in New Jersey and across this country is absolutely irresponsible. And so we want people to be recognizing it, you know, think about it in New Jersey. The reality is you have in the state aspect a governor who thought it was more important to hang out at the beach rather than making sure that bills were going to be paid on time and that we can progress in that manner. If you're recognizing that at that aspect of being able to enjoy life can come at compromise, it certainly is absolutely critical when you talk about the possibility when it comes to jobs and wages and payments in any aspect. And so this is another example of absolutely reckless leadership that we're seeing out of the president. But now, again, we have a responsibility to convey to people how we're going to give them a better deal.
And that thing with Christian Beach has, that was totally idiotic on his part. And that's just arrogance, the textbook definition of arrogance on his part, too. And I have no hesitation to say that. I'm going to see if I can pull off a miracle here and see if I can get you to agree with something that Trump actually said. Trump said that the debt ceiling bill could have passed if Ryan McConnell tied it to a VA bill, which passed with bipartisan support, but they failed to do that. Would you agree with that idea?
Well, on the surface, we can't, because it's not that clear cut and as simple as he's trying to make it to seem. Trump is seemingly a master of giving good lines and talking points, but just trying to say, well, we can push forward on the debt ceiling if you connect it to another piece of legislation. It's not that clear cut, Mr. President. And so while, yes, there was no question support as it relates to what we're going to do for our veterans and support that happens with them and that unanimous bill, they move forward in that manner. The broader aspect is, why on earth are we having a conversation at all around trying to tie other policy agendas and political agendas to raising the debt ceiling? And so when we think about everything that comes into fruition, the fundamental aspect of this is Donald Trump ran a campaign where he repeatedly told the people of New Jersey and across the country that Mexico would pay for the wall. So it either shows utter incompetence or absolute lack of understanding of how the process actually works, and now China just politically save himself. That said, what we say very clearly is how do we provide a better deal for people in the communities? What are we saying in terms of legislation? Let's come together to recognize that we need to raise the debt ceiling to make sure we can pay our bills so we can support people in New Jersey and across the country. Let's make sure we're creating jobs, make sure we're moving forward in a positive manner rather than trying to double down on Trump's policy proposals, which are, quite frankly, reckless and irresponsible.
I'm Michael Blake, who's the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee. Democrats.org is the website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. This past week, too, President Trump also revealed general terms, his plan and his next actions for the U.S. military in Afghanistan. And again, I say the word general because unlike before, where many people argued we were basically handing over details of the battle plan to the enemy, he chose not to telegraph as much information to the enemy. And he wants to tie Afghanistan to results rather than the calendar. Your response to those ideas?
So Donald Trump clearly, again, is unfit to be commander-in-chief. This is not just coming from us. Obviously, this came from the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, and others. Let's process this. Number one, he came forward what was supposed to be a national address of the vision as it relates to Afghanistan and communicated that we won't give a timeline, we're not going to share details, we're not going to give you any information, and that nation building is not important, but what's important are having victories on the ground. Well, the reality is you need to have nation building because if you have nation building in Pakistan and other areas where this is being an issue, what does that mean? That means we can have less troops on the ground. It means we can have less activations that are happening in these particular areas. It means that our loved ones can come back home in our community. This is a personal issue for me. My oldest brother is a sergeant first class in the Army. Any time that someone see someone overseas, you think about how this can impact your respective communities in that aspect. When we saw what happened before under President Obama, it was a reduction down to 8,900, but it was saying we have to focus on nation building and we have to be clear about what our vision is. And so what we're seeing right now is essentially no real plan, no real leadership, and Donald Trump just communicating out rhetoric that has no real vision. It's not safe, and it is not helpful at all, and you can't ignore that when you tie this to someone who simultaneously just this past month was talking about fire and fury when it came to North Korea, was talking about the challenges as it relates to what would happen to other countries around the world, the pulling out of the Paris Accord. All these components show absolute lack of vision when it comes to international leadership. So our vision of a better deal when it comes to Afghanistan, number one, there has to be a vision when it comes to nation building. That has to be a part of your strategy. Number two, you have to have coordination and collaboration with other partners that are in the region and on the ground. Number three, you have to communicate to the American people, what is the vision? What is the timeline? The reality is, obviously, your leadership in the military would know what your vision would be, but the American people should also deserve that as well. It is not just those who serve on the ground. It's the military families that are also impacted by this, and they deserve to have that from their commander-in-chief.
Well, with Afghanistan, maybe to a lesser degree Pakistan, but certainly with Afghanistan, isn't it time for them to, as opposed to wishing to be a welfare state with endless funding and no effort on their part, to have demands placed upon them and them to respond to those demands?
But the demands are part of that. Again, it goes to nation building. If you remove yourself from Afghanistan and you remove the situation that's happening on the ground, you can't have a scenario at all where if you see you're building up security forces on the ground, well, what's the alternative? You're just going to leave it to troops that are not ready to take over their country. We've seen how that has worked in other places by moving too quickly. And so the plan for Afghanistan has to be one, again, around nation building. We can't ignore the responsibility of how that has to be a part of the strategy there. The notion of just saying we're just here for victories and for killing of terrorists, but we're also not going to help build up the nation, which includes building up security forces, is irresponsible and reckless, because if their security forces are not strong on the ground, they're going to have continual conflict on the ground. It just makes complete sense in that manner, and the fact that Donald Trump cannot see that is another example of why it's absolutely concerning, the vision that he is supposedly putting forth.
Just wrap up here with a minute and change to go with 2018 coming up and then 2020, but certainly 2018 for the Democrats a greater priority, because if you look at the last few election cycles, you've lost a lot of state-level seats, governor seats. Is that your do you have a greater priority on that right now over maybe even the House and the Senate, or are both on an equal plane for you?
Both and. You know, our vision is how do you go from the school board to the Senate, from the State House to the White House, from City Council to County to Congress. You have to have that complete vision. How do you win hearts, minds, and elections? For the people of New Jersey, you have an opportunity this year to elect Bill Murphy as your next governor, Sheila Oliver as your next lieutenant governor, but also to have wins and pickups all across the state in municipal races that matter. It's important for people to appreciate that when you find races, whether it be for mayor or city council, for your roads and your garbage pickup and the schools in your local community, whether it be for your state legislation so that you're not legislators rather, so you're not having a scenario where you have a governor in Christie that's trying to shut down a budget and shut down the government because they're not getting the things that they need. It's absolutely critical. And so New Jersey, you know what's at stake, and that's why we're asking people to be very engaged voting up and down the ticket in that manner for Bill Murphy, Sheila Oliver, and the Democrats up and down the ticket. But then beyond that, it's taking it to the next step. Virginia, the election of the governor in that race out there, Ralph Northam, the lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax candidate, the AG, Mark Herring. But again, local races on the ground. The state of Washington, you have Minka, a remarkable candidate in the 45th district in the state of Washington. That's a candidate. Just on today, former President Obama endorsed the incumbent mayor of St. Petersburg, Florida, Rick Kreisman, who is running for re-election because of the work that he's been doing on the ground. And so we're very focused on races this year all across the country. And in advance of next year, it's obviously congressional races. We need 24 congressional pickups to get the House back. We clearly have a focus on governor's races across the country. As has been evident when it comes to health care, a major reason why health care costs have gone up is because Republican governors did not expand Medicaid in many states. It's the focus on what's happening in terms of state legislative races around the country as well. And so we are very clear. The Democratic National Committee will not just be a party that is focusing on just the White House. We'll be focusing on everyone's house, everyone's home, everyone's community. This will not be the thing about every 4 years. It's going to be what are we doing every 4 days, every 4 weeks, every 4 months to consistently show that we are here to help people get jobs, get better wages, get food on the table, get better schools, and get them a better deal. That's the vision that we have, and we'll be demonstrating that this year through 2020, which is the new vision of the Democratic Party, led by our chair, Tom Perez, by our team at Keith Ellison, the deputy chair, our entire diverse leadership that we have. We are ready to win races, and that's what we will continue to do.
He is the vice chair of the Democratic National Committee, Michael Blake. Democrats.org is the website. Mr. Blake, thanks for being here today.
Great to be with you, Chris. Thank you. Now.